Hotline powered by Power West Industries, and we are welcoming into the program General Manager of your Vancouver Canucks, Patrick Allvin. Thanks for this, Patrick. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks.
So, Braden Coutts, your selection at 15th overall. What do you like about the player?
Well, getting a right shot center there at 15, I wasn't sure what my staff wasn't sure what was going to be available. We had a couple names there, and Braden was on top of the list. And getting a right shot center, character, leader, two-way player with the skill set, speed, and tenacity. We were very, very excited.
Well, you mentioned tenacity, and anybody who's watched Braden Coutts and knows him talks about how hard he plays and how hard he is to play against. How do you see that translating to the National Hockey League?
I do think that he's a very mature person for his age, and he understands that this is just the start of the journey for him, and nothing's going to be for granted. He has those intangibles on and off the ice that usually translate to becoming a good NHL player. But definitely, it's a journey for him. But with his tenacity and work ethic, along with his skill set, there's definitely upside with him.
He was the youngest captain in the WHL this year with Seattle. He captained the Canada at the U18s as well. Is that some of the character that you're talking about?
Yeah, I think we in the process we have with our scouting staff, they're doing the due diligence on the player off the ice and getting to know the player and talking to different people around him. And you more work or guys did on Braden, you more convicted there was that he was the right fit for us here at 15. And I think you, as he mentioned too, that this is just the start of the journey and nothing is for granted. I think that's he has a very humble approach, and obviously, you know, he speaks for himself to be a captain, young captain in Seattle, and captain for Team Canada at the U18 as well.
He was just over a point a game, but one of the quotes that stood out to me is he says that he doesn't fish for offense, and that's maybe why his numbers don't pop as some other of the prospects drafted high in the first round. But do you see more offense in his game as he continues to develop here?
Well, I think he's an honest player, and he has the skill set to provide offense. And I do think that he makes his teammates better, too. I think that's the way he put it this way. The way his points are coming is the way you need to play at the next level in order to win games and in order to produce. He plays on the inside. He drives plays. He goes to the hard areas, and that's where he can create plays and score with his skill set.
Well, obviously he's a player that I'm sure your staff is very excited about. A lot of Canucks fans are excited about, but you know, when it comes to these drafts, people always debate who is taken and who isn't taken. And I have to be honest, Patrick, considering you picked Swedes in the first round and the two previous picks, we kind of wondered, would he go with Victor Ekman? Did you have to resist the urge to go with another Swede? I mean, I'm only kidding about that, but in terms of other guys being there, like, it's a lot of interesting players available at 15 when you guys picked.
Yeah, no. I think there were definitely conversations among a couple names there, and I do believe that we have a strong defense pipeline in place, and we got a couple of goalie prospects, so we felt that we, if possible, here. Adding more to our forward pipeline here, and that's where Braden, came in and was very exciting for us.
We know that you mentioned you were maybe open to moving the pick in the right deal. Did you ever get close to moving 15th overall to help your roster right now?
Not to help a roster. I believe the first round is still going on, but I my understanding it's only has been one roster related trade here today. So
yeah, only the Dobson one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I haven't seen anything else. So I don't, I was not close to anything here today as of today involving or 15th overall pick.
Were you surprised by, I mean, not to say the value, the pick doesn't have value. You guys picked a nice player and hopefully he's going to be a good player for the organization. But were you surprised by how little value the first round picks had in terms of getting established NHL players?
Not really. I do believe there is a lot of good teams out there that you know, want to have roster players in order to continue to be good and even better. I think that's a credit to the league. There is conversations going on, and hey, maybe something materialized here over the next couple of days. We'll see.
Well, and as far as what you do next, I mean, I'm sure you're working the phones very hard trying to make things happen. And as far as how willing you are, I mean, we know the 2026 pick is a pick that has value. Would you consider doing something along those lines, getting creative, or do you look at that pick for next year as being pretty much untouchable?
You know what? I said it before. My job is always to look at options to see if we have a chance to improve our team, and you know, sometimes it's a cost related or asset related, and you know, is it worth it or not? But I haven't had any discussions regarding that up to this point, and if that's secure, I think that's definitely something we will talk about if it makes sense or not.
We've seen in past drafts that, hey, the first round kind of goes and the picks are made and maybe there's some trade downs and things like that. But generally, the player movement, roster changes happen more often on day two. How much are conversations going to continue in tomorrow for you and your group?
We'll see. It's getting late out east here.
Yeah.
We'll see if any more conversations comes in here later tonight or early tomorrow morning. There's still, I believe, several teams with multiple picks here early tomorrow. So we'll see where things go.
Patrick, obviously you're also working on bringing some guys back and perhaps extending some players. Where are things at in trying to get something done with Thatcher Demko and Connor Garland? Some reports that you've made progress on both ends.
Yeah, both of those players expressed really early to me very strong interest of remaining or staying. Both players believe in the vision and what we started to build here and want to be part of that. They believe in the coaching staff. I know Adam Foote has included them in the leadership group here in some early off-season conversations. It's been very, very positive conversations with both of them, and hopefully we can get it over the finish line here in the next couple of days.
Patrick, we always appreciate the time. Thanks for this.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the rest of the draft weekend here.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. There is Patrick.
And make a trade for us, too. Yeah.
He did say there's conversations going on. And hey, maybe something materializes here in the next couple of days.
Give us more news.
Clearly, they're still working on some things. But also did say that they were never close to trading the 15th overall pick to help their roster right now. Interesting from Patrick Alvey.
Yeah, and of course, you know, on Braden Coutts, and we're going to connect with him before the show comes to an end here tonight as well, and chat with him. And again, like I was trying to say earlier about these draft picks, it's fair to have your opinions. It's completely fine, and we'll see what happens. And chances are there will be somebody picked after Coutts who's going to have, in your eyes, a better career, but that doesn't mean he's going to have a bad career or not be worth the selection itself. And when it comes to the draft process, it's not often the guys you think are going to be able to take that step. But when I look at a guy like Braden Coutts, we're talking about a high-end two-way player potentially, and a guy with a lot of leadership qualities. And I think this organization and the fans who get to watch him are going to be very excited when they get to see Braden Coutts up close and personal.
Speaking of Braden Coutts, the captain. All right. We are working through some technical difficulties as he speaks to media. In LA, here is the newest Vancouver Canuck, Braden Coutts.
I had some really good conversations. I had a feeling that, you know, they hopefully they liked me, and as soon as they were announcing the pick, there I had a bit of a feeling, and obviously when I heard my name called, I was so excited. So yeah.
And Sherwood Park. So I assume that you didn't exactly grow up rooting for the Vancouver Canucks. Is there? As you sort of weighed the possibility of becoming a Vancouver Canucks prospect, was there sort of a period of adjusting to that, given that you've grown up rooting for the Edmonton Oilers?
Yeah, no, I mean, today's obviously my last day being an Oilers fan. Yeah, you know, I like the Canucks. I did not – it was – they're a team that I love watching. I love watching Hughes play, you know, JT Miller when he was there. And but yeah, it's pretty cool now being in Vancouver and so close to home as well, you know, only hour 15 flight-ish. So, and being on the West Coast is awesome.
Next up, we have Adam Kurzenblatt, the Hockey News.
Hey, Braden. Have you had the opportunity to talk to Sawyer yet? Obviously played with him in Seattle, and now you guys are both part of the same organization.
Yeah. I looked at it. He sent me a text congratulating me, and he's pretty excited. And yeah, it's pretty cool having somebody that, you know, in the organization. It for sure makes it a little easier, you know, transition wise, going to camp and all that, knowing somebody.
And being a Western Canadian kid, can you talk about the prospect of playing in a Western Canadian market and kind of what your expectations of being a Vancouver Canuck is?
Yeah. I mean, it's a dream come true. You know, me growing up in Edmonton, I know everything about a Canadian market and the expectations and all that. It's, you know, it's no surprise to me. And I'm so excited to be a Vancouver Canuck. And yeah.
Next up, we have Ian McIntyre, Sportsnet.
Hi, Braden. By the way, that picture's not me, just so you know. We're sharing a computer here because it's easier that way. So thanks for doing this call and congratulations. Patrick Alvin, the GM, when he was telling us about you, he spoke a lot about your leadership. And I'm just wondering to you as a player, how much emphasis do you sort of put on leadership and character and, you know, things other than just what goes on, you know, during the game?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big just part of my game as well as leadership and how I carry myself as a person. You know, in Seattle, it's just kind of something that, you know, is me. But like when I went to Seattle, we have such a good culture there, and just the things we do are, I think, what made me an even better leader and person. You know, obviously my parents as well, how they raised me, and just to be a good person, carry myself the right way. Yeah.
Has it always come easily to you being a leader? Because it's not something that every player can do, but obviously you're the youngest captain in the WHL. Does it feel natural? Does it feel comfortable for you to be out front and in the spotlight?
Yeah, I would say so for sure. I mean, I'm not the loudest guy in any room, that's for sure. I for sure lead more by example. And like I said, carrying myself as a person, working hard, and making others around me better. But yeah, just being the person I am, not trying to be anybody I'm not. It came pretty natural, yes.
Next up, Patrick Johnston, Post Media.
Hey, Braden, welcome to Vancouver. You talk about leadership, I find myself wondering, are you a guy that's conscious of, was that a moment you realized I'm a captain? Is that something you've always been? Are you a guy that tries to learn what other leaders do? How does that process work for you?
Yeah, I mean, I for sure look up to guys. I mean, in Seattle, I had two unbelievable leaders before me, Lucas Siona and Jordan Gustafson. Two guys I looked up big time on how they led, and just everybody there, really, like I said, the culture in Seattle. I mean, it's just kind of the person that I become. Obviously, like what we do there is top notch, and how we handle ourselves as people and players. So yeah.
When you talk about the culture in Seattle, I mean, there's, lots of teams have words they like to use or whatever, but to actually live those values is a hard thing to do. What are the values you guys focus on that you try to get out of this?
Yeah, I mean, living above the line is one of them that our coach always emphasizes. Doing the extra, pounding the stone, you keep, especially the start of the year when we weren't, doing so hot. We had a young team, you come to the rink every day and say, you keep pounding the stone. It's eventually going to break. It might not be the first or second or third one, but it might be the 40th one, and all those 40th ones led up to that one hit. So, yeah, just living above the line and, doing the extra.
We'll take a follow-up from Ian McIntyre.
So, Patrick Alvin didn't want to put pressure on you by naming an NHL comparable, but I understand you kind of model yourself off of Braden Point. Is that correct?
Yeah, I like the way he plays.
So, can you just expand on that a little bit? What is it about him and his game that you try to emulate?
I think it's his complete game and his work ethic. He kind of does everything right. He's a really smart player too, high ho hockey IQ, a guy that's kind of always in the right spot, and is a good skater as well. And he's a winner. I mean, two Stanley Cups. He's, it's a pretty good resume.
It is.
And we'll go to Daniel Wagner, Glacier Media.
Hi, Braden. Just wondering, what would you say you learned about yourself and your game from the World Under 18s?
I mean, I learned I can obviously raise it. I mean, a lot of people ask me, oh, why you maybe had a little more points there or something. I mean, we had a really good team there. I mean, I was playing with really good players. It's a little different than in Seattle. We play a little different game there, and we like to wear teams down. But I learned that I can be obviously a top end guy, and I know that. That was no surprise to me, but I just knew, my overall game, and yeah.
And what would you like to add to your game in the coming months to kind of take your game to the next level? What elements are you looking to add?
Maybe a bit more dynamic, offensively a little bit. I mean, the way I play though, it's just a complete 200 foot, do whatever it takes really to win kind of game with speed. So I'm not trying to change that at all, but I honestly just say my overall game. I need to get better at everything, to be the player that I want to be.
Awesome. Thank you, Braden, and thank you all for joining us. That will conclude today's media availability.
There is Braden Coutts, the newest Vancouver Canuck, speaking to media via Zoom as he is in LA and selected 15th overall by the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, and you can see them here, the maturity, and we're hoping to hook up with him here too and have a good chat with him. And obviously a player who was an Edmonton Oilers fan, like you mentioned, but now he says he's putting that aside and he's going to be a Canucks fan from this point on. And, mentions Braden Point as somebody he models his game after. And he's a little bit bigger than Braden Point, but...
Yep.
That's quite the player to try to be like.
Braden Point, one of his players he models his game after, so that's something to keep in mind as he continues to develop.
Yeah, and let's update people on what's happened with the draft. We're going to be chatting with Braden coming up in a second, but we mentioned Ryker Lee was drafted by Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Washington drafted Lincoln Lakovic, the left winger, at 27th overall, and Sasha Bomedin, the Finnish Swedish defenseman. He was taken 20th overall by the Winnipeg Jets.
It looks like a trade is just announced as well. Chicago moving up to 29 as we wrap up the NHL entry draft. But let's bring in the newest Vancouver Canucks, Braden Coutts. Thanks for this, Braden. How are you?
I'm doing unbelievable. How are you?
Yeah, I can imagine. It must be pretty cool to hear your name attached to an NHL team. This is a dream come true today. How's the whole day been for you?
Yeah, it's been awesome. Honestly, this whole time being here, just trying to take it all in. It goes by so fast, and obviously once in a lifetime thing. So I'm just trying to take it all in.
Well, you mentioned that you had a bit of an inkling when the Canucks were picking 15. How well did your conversations go with Vancouver, and why did you feel confident that they would make you to pick a 15?
Yeah, I mean, I had good conversations with them. had a good dinner with them. We didn't really talk too much about hockey. It was just getting to know each other, talking a lot about golf and just stuff away from the rink. And yeah, you know, I just a bit of a gut feeling, you know, just that kind of range that I was, you would say, ranked in. So, yeah.
Well, you can keep mountain golf in the repertoire as one of your hobbies now that you're going to be a Vancouver Canuck. You're not going too far, just up the I-5 from Seattle.
Yeah, no, not too far at all. It's, I mean, where I live in Edmonton too, so it's pretty nice.
So I know you've talked about this a lot, and you alluded to it a little bit with the media, but you know, you're looked at as a 200-foot player, and you consider yourself a 200-foot player. But do you feel you've got more offense in you as well?
For sure. I mean, I'm only getting better. I mean, a lot of people say that, but I mean, just the way we play in Seattle too, it's not just all about that. It's about, you know, winning. That's all I care about is, you know, in the playoffs and winning hockey games, right? But 100% I can, you know, it's something that I'm obviously working on and more that I can add to my game. It's, you know, I'm only 18 years old and this is, haven't done anything yet. This is just the start of everything and ready to get to work.
You know, we just spoke with Patrick, and one of the things he mentioned is a lot of the offense you do generate is very translatable. You know, you get to the inside of the ice. Is that something you really focus on? Is building a game that, you know, not only works here in the dub with Seattle and with, you know, your Team Canada games as well, but something that can be translatable, more translatable to the NHL?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's the way I play, I think translates very well. I think it's just the new modern day NHL, you know, speed, grit with skill and just having hockey IQ. You have to be so smart now, the game's so fast. You have to make plays so quickly, but yeah.
Well, and when it comes to one thing you do very well, and that's forecheck, and you know, when it comes to, like, you're not a small player, but you're not also not the biggest player, but yet you always come away with the puck, and especially in the board battles. We know board battles are more than willingness and want. There's also an art to it. What makes you so effective on the forecheck?
I think just how badly I want that puck. I mean, I don't know too many guys that compete as hard as I do. Just hard work. I mean, on the forecheck, it's just something that I've always done from a young age really well and had success at. So, yeah.
Where does that fire come from?
Just being competitive. I know I got two brothers and our family. I'm just a competitive person that just wants to win at everything. And one thing my dad would always tell me growing up too is the one thing you can control is your work ethic. So that's been in my brain since I was 6 years old, if it was in school, work, or hockey. So, yeah.
The often said that you have a very mature game for your age. Where did that develop from your standpoint?
Just, I think it's just natural for me. I mean, in Seattle, Odette, yeah, our coach, he's so good that just the way he coaches, you don't cheat the game. You know, it's he's the habits and the details. Hockey IQ is a big part of that. But yeah, I credit a lot of that to Odie.
And as far as you mentioned how Braden Point's a player that, you know, you like a lot and try to model your game after, what other players have kind of inspired you, and what other players you really enjoy watching?
I like Logan Stankoven too, a little bigger version than him. Just the way that he works and how he creates his offense is pretty similar to me. Right-hand shot. And he's just a dog and a bone. He works for everything that he gets.
How excited are you to maybe lace it up with Quinn Hughes at training camp and some of the Canucks stars?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think about that. I mean, that guy's probably one of the, I mean, maybe the best defenseman in the world. So, again, just to skate with him and then everybody on the team really, is going to be really fun to watch and be a part of.
So what's your off-season plan here? I know you're coming to development camp and, you know, you're probably going back to the WHL, but what are you planning on working on this summer?
Yeah, I got a World Junior camp at the end of July. Go do that, you know, have a good camp. And then, again, the gym, obviously I've been working out a lot, start skating more again. But, yeah, just working on my overall game, trying to get better at everything. And, yeah.
Braden, we really appreciate the time. I know it's probably been a whirlwind for you ever since getting selected 15th overall, but enjoy this, and we'll see you up at Dev Camp in a week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
There is Braden Coutts, the newest Vancouver Canuck, joining us here exclusively on Canuck Central. All right. We do have the second round draft choice by the Vancouver Canucks. Alexei Medvedev joins us. Thanks for this, Alexei. Congratulations. How are you feeling right now?
Yeah, thank you, guys. I'm really happy right now. Yeah, it's great. Really excited.
Love that. How much did you know that Vancouver had their eyes on you here?
It was a little unexpected, but just so happy to end up here and get drafted by Vancouver. It's amazing.
So in terms of your process throughout all this, I know it has to be exciting yet nerve-wracking. Where did you expect to go? Were you hoping to go higher? Like, where did you think you would end up be drafted here on the weekend?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking second round, and I think 47 is really good for me. So I'm, and especially being picked by Vancouver, I think that's what matters the most. So just the team, so I'm just really happy right now, yeah.
A lot of success this year for you and the team. You know, what have you learned over the course of this season for London?
What's that, sir?
What have you learned over the course of this season for a very successful run for your team?
Yeah, it was a great experience. We had a special group and a special team, and just kind of learning from those guys and seeing what a winning locker room looks like, and just getting that winning experience, you know, it's going to help me in the long run. So really, really happy I got to do that with the Knights this year.
Does it help you developing as a goalie, you know, getting to play with so many NHL prospects like Sam Dickinson and Easton Cowan? You know, we saw Henry Brustevich get drafted yesterday as well. Does it help you prepare as a goalie, having this kind of talent to practice with all the time?
Yeah, for sure. We compete really hard in practice, and it's a big deal for us. So we practice the way we play. So that's kind of our mindset. And yeah, just facing those guys in practice definitely helps you to get your confidence. Just to helps you so well. So it's great.
Well, I want to spend some time to get us to get you to tell us a bit about your journey to get to this point. Obviously, born in Russia, played through in Canada, playing for the London Knights, and been here in Canada for many years, of course. And you're a goalie that has also grown in size over the past year. Now you're over 6'2". What's your journey been like, and what's it been like coming to Canada and having success over the years?
Yeah, I was I came over to Canada at 14 years old, so it was a really neat and fun experience, and I feel like people around me just made it so smooth for me, made me feel comfortable, and just it was huge for my development. I think coming over here worked out so well for me, and I'm really grateful. I'm really happy I made that decision.
Do you have a favorite goalie you like to watch and try to model your game after?
Yeah, I love Igor Shesterkin, and he's played in my hometown, St. Petersburg, so I used to watch him as a kid, and I love his game, so that's the guy for me.
You're going to have to change that answer to Thatcher Demko now.
yeah, I'm going to be learning from him. Yeah,
sure. Have you had a chance to visit Vancouver, or when you come up for Dev Camp, is that going to be your first chance to see the mountains and the ocean?
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be my first time. So I'm just really excited right now.
Alexei, congratulations. Oh, this is a big day for you. Enjoy it. Congratulations again on getting drafted.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
There is Alexei Medvedev, the second round draft choice by the Vancouver Canucks. Bringing in some draft analysis is Shane Malloy, one of our favorites here on Sportsnet 650, Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL. Thanks for this, Shane. How are you?
Doing great. It's not as busy today and chaotic, so that's always great. So we'll see how the rest, if this draft class and this draft moves quicker. Remember that year in COVID?
Yeah.
Second day went 8 hours. Yeah, that was a killer.
Yeah. Well, we're not trending quite that long.
Don't remind us
but
of
it
that.
Is,
we're 2 hours and 10 minutes into it, and we're not even done the third round. Are we done the third round yet?
We are not yet. No.
We only have four more rounds to go. I'm sure it'll be fine.
So, Shane, we were just actually talking before we get into some of the Canucks selections here. just looking through, especially these second and third rounds, there seems to be a lot of players with size going off the board. I keep looking up at the screen and looking through some of these profiles, and it's 6'6", 6'5". Oh, it's a right shot defenseman who's 6'6", or 6'5". It just feels like this draft, a theme of this draft, has definitely been size through these last two rounds.
Yeah, shocking, right? When you go back and look at the playoffs, and then you look at the trade deadline and free agency, what do organizations covet? Size. Size matters in the playoffs. And if you're going to be a smaller player, you better be, you know, elite in certain aspects of your game to make up for that. Because at the end of the day, you can't sacrifice size. It's a big boy game. So it doesn't come as a surprise. And a lot of the teams obviously were coveting some big players that could, you know, play a role in your team. So if I look through my list, and it was the back end of my list, it was all like these big, lanky, somewhat mobile defensemen who don't look sexy on paper, but those are guys that can, you know, play in your 5-6 and kill penalties and just, you know, wear out forwards on that come on the forecheck and just bang bodies. And those guys, they tend to be valuable at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I think that's where we're seeing the trend go, right? I mean, there are some guys that are listed as 6 feet, but perhaps a little bit shorter. But so far through the first 90 picks, like, we're going to have fewer than 10% of the players be under 5'11", under 6 feet tall. Is this a trend we're going to continue seeing, or do you think this is one of these flash things we're seeing because of what the Florida Panthers have done, and usually these things end up rectifying over time?
No, because if you look back, I think when you're 2012, when LA won, look at the Stanley Cup winners. LA, when their two wins, they were a big team. Tampa was a big team, you know, especially on defense. St. Louis was a big team. Vegas was a big team. Well, the only Stanley Cup winner in recent history that wasn't big would be Colorado. They kind of bucked the trend. Everybody else, they had some big bodies that were either, you know, in the defense corps or along the wall, like some big, big bodies that could grind it out. So I think we get caught in narratives as media people and as fans. And I just think at the end of the day, the teams know that size matters, and I don't think it's going to change.
Has the trend of the draft, if you're looking at it, like where have been the efficiencies, where have been the inefficiencies so far that the sequence of the picks have gone for you?
Well, I haven't quite delved into that heavily yet,
sure.
But certainly there are some guys like, you know, I thought guys like Malcolm Spence and some of the guys out of the U.S. National Development Program would have been a little bit higher just because of some two-way ability and reliability, not sexy, but guys that are certainly could play in those areas. So that was a little bit surprising that those guys dropped. So we'll see. You know, we always look back in 5 years and teams will say, oh, why didn't we take that kid sooner? So that is certainly going to end up being a trend at the end of the day. And the team I find the most fascinating right now is Carolina. So in the previous three drafts, they selected 15 Russians. They've already selected two more. So in a four-year span, they've drafted 17 Russians. That's a crazy number. Now, I know there's potentially an inefficiency, obviously, drafting in Russia because we haven't been able to get over there consistently. And, you know, you may have one Russian scout on your staff. But look at the trend of that organization of trying to mine somebody every draft out of Russia and hope that they hit.
And they just selected another Russian, Roman Bosov.
There we go.
6'5"
so
defenseman. Yeah, so it's continuing for the Carolina Hurricanes. So I know we talked about Braden Coutts with you before the draft as he was being linked to Vancouver, and they obviously end up selecting him at 15. What's your take on the pick?
I really like the pick, and the reason why is I think he's a Badger. Like, he is so highly competitive. Like, he plays with a lot of energy. He's a smarter, more skilled player than you realize. And he's one of those players that drags you into the fight. Remember when the Vancouver Canucks had Mike Pekka? He's a Mike Pekka-type player. Will he be a second-line center? Maybe. But I would project him, and this is based on this draft class, because I had him at 20th overall, is a potentially elite number three who can match up against top lines, number one penalty kill, and a total pain in the rear end to play against. I mean, he's going to be relentless. And I think in the organization, you need about two or three or four guys that just keep dragging you into the fight, whether you want to be there or not, on a Tuesday game on the road where like, and he'll just keep like driving to the net and causing havoc and matching up and banging and crashing and energy. And I think it's necessary for this organization to bring a spark,
yeah.
And he'll bring that spark.
Well, you know, it's always so difficult to truly quantify character and the intangibles and project those into from a teenager to an adult and have success in the NHL. But some of the things that we can see from him, at least from our discussions and you talk to people, he hits very high on the character test. And one thing he talks very much about, and even people around him speak very highly of, is how ultra competitive he is at all times. Is that maybe the best characteristic to have in terms of becoming a player? And we hit a baseline on talent, but then having that you know, grade A drive, so to speak.
Yeah, actually, he had said that his third best quality is being a pain in the ass on the ice. So, no, and actually, one of the things that's really fascinating is that for the last quite a few decades, they've been able to quantify the mental and emotional attributes of individuals actually quite successfully. It just hasn't been applied in a lot of different vocations and industries. So it's something I'm actually studying right now on the cognitive performance side. So you can be able, if you do the testing early, you'll be able to map out what that player's mental and emotional attributes are, where's the strengths are, how much data actually applies to the game of hockey, and help that player not only get better in those areas, but mitigate some other areas that he's not as strong in. So it's an area that I think NHL teams haven't tapped into enough. They have, you know, obviously sports psychologists, but it's a little bit different in terms of testing and evaluating that at a really early age than building a profile of the person and then building a tactical and technical plan to help them mentally and emotionally instead of just physical and on the ice.
What about Kieran Dervin? What can you tell us about him?
Well, he's another player who's going to bring some energy. Like, I think one of the themes that I noticed with the Canucks this year is we need some pep in this group, some guys that can like get up and down the ice. It's not necessarily just speed, but playing with some pace, right? And I think he potentially brings that too. Like, I found actually a lot of NHL teams, and Vancouver included, there is a certain theme in the types of players that they're advocating for in this year, like Philadelphia, like Danny Briere tried to tell us that wasn't about size, and every one of his picks are like mastodons, right? Like they're huge, huge players. And then other teams like Vancouver trying to find players that bring energy and pace, and that's really important. Like, because sometimes you can get caught in a lull of a game, and you throw that player, a couple of those players over the boards, and they just bring energy to the game and to force everybody. It's contagious on your bench when you see a line go out and they just like are all over the other team and swarming them, and they get back to the bench and it's a bit of a waterfall effect. So I think both these players are going to be able to do that for Vancouver.
How hard is it to project a player coming out of you know, St. Andrews College as he is, played limited amount of OHL games before they've even, you know, he's going to Penn State, but how hard is it to project given where he's played?
Extremely difficult because environment matters. It's the talent of competition you're trying to gauge them against. So that was no different than Simon Wang, is like he had a limited number of games too, or Mason West. So I have a hard time with that. It's mostly not trying to just, you can figure out the player, but then what's that value versus what he's played against? And that's a big challenge. So I'm really curious to see what he does at the collegiate level and how he adapts. And It's a hard jump if you're an 18-year-old kid as a freshman. So I kind of like having 19-year-old freshmen, always give them an extra year. So I'll be curious to see how that plays out.
I know goaltending can be a bit voodoo sometimes. So it was really interesting looking at how the goalies. Yeah, well, exactly. We know how, and we're going to talk to Kevin Woodley a bit as well in a bit later. And Joshua Rabensberg is going to join the show coming up next segment. Local kid, North Van, drafted late in the first round. But there was some question about how many goalies would be taken high. And we saw, I want to say off the board, because there were some suggestions that one of the Russians could jump up and be the first goalie taken. Andrianov goes, then we see Rabensbergen go, and then we see the Canucks take Alexei Medvedev in the second round. Were you a bit surprised by the run on goalies a bit early, and what do you think of the Canucks selection?
Well, that's the difficult for me of projecting. I had the Russian goaltender, I think I had him in close to late 50s, 60, only because, one, I admit, goalie scouting is voodoo to me, so I get a lot of help, and I try to make sure that, you know, my rear end is covered in that regard. So, not, like, that's a little bit of a surprise. Josh going where he did, I'm not surprised by that because of his size, his hockey sense, his skating ability, his athletic, like, that's a perfect fit. And then for the Vancouver Canucks, one of the best things about this goalie is where he's playing. When you're in London, you get great coaching, you get great development, they teach you how to be a pro, and they prepare you, like, on and off the ice, but particularly off the ice, what you need to do and prepare yourself every day. And he's going to play a ton of minutes. He's going to get a ton of rubber, and that team always makes long runs in the playoffs. So it's very difficult to replicate that type of game scenarios in the regular season. So for me, I think that's a value pick. And I'm always an advocate of taking pretty much a goalie every year because they're hard to project out. And if you hit on one, like you look at the Washington Capitals in a 10-year period, they produced six NHL goalies. So, and their value is always generally better than what you drafted them at. So, I think it was a really astute pick.
Do you have a theory here of why Cam Schmidt's name is yet to be called here?
He's a small, one-dimensional player who the problem is, and this is where I had a hard time ranking him higher than I did, is because if his A game doesn't work, what else is he bringing? So if he's not producing offense, what's his B game? And it's, look, I think perfect example of that is how Garland built out a B game for him. So when I watch him in the queue, he didn't really have that 5-on-5 off puck B game, and he built that into his game, and it's turned into a really strong 5-on-5 player, really effective player for a small guy. That's what Cameron Schmidt would have to do. The problem is, again, size. He's so small. And you can get away with like being like that in the Western Hockey League in junior, but you're not going to get away with that in the NHL level.
Shane, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for this.
All right, gentlemen, enjoy the rest of the day.
Yes, you as well. Great work from Shane Malloy, Hockey Prospect Radio. Let's bring in our next guest, drafted to the San Jose Sharks in the first round. Goalie out of North Van, it is Joshua Ravensbergen. Thanks for this, Josh. How are you?
Great. Yeah, how are you guys?
We are doing really well. How's the last 24 hours been for you?
Oh, it's unreal. I mean, dream come true. It's so cool here. My name get called. Being able to spend it with my family. Yeah, it was unreal.
Were you expecting to take a photo after being drafted with a WWE superstar in Bailey?
No, not at all. It's definitely unique. Verse could call my name, but yeah, the whole experience was unreal.
Do you still have the belt?
No, I wish. I wish I got to keep it. I should have been able to, but
yeah, right.
Okay.
That would have been pretty cool. So, did you have an idea that San Jose was in for you? How did it come about?
Yeah, I had no clue. Honestly, I talked to them a bit throughout the year, but it wasn't as much as some other teams, so I wasn't really expecting it at all. And then hearing my name called was a little bit of a surprise, but I couldn't be happier.
And it's one of these things where you know, you've been considered the top goalie prospect in this draft, or one of the top goalie prospects, and a lot of discussion about you perhaps going in the first round, being the first goalie taken. And you weren't the first goalie taken, but still taken in the first round. Like, what were you expecting coming into yesterday and today? Like, were you hoping to go in the first round? Like, what were your expectations?
Yeah, obviously hoping for it. Like, I want to be the best, but at the same time, I was going to be happy with wherever I went, because, you know, I know it's not about when you go, but what you do after. In the draft, it's just day and see what team picks you. That's basically all it is. So obviously you want to go as high as possible, but it didn't really matter in the back of my mind. And now it's just time to get to work.
From the outside, we always like to use phrases like, well, goaltending is voodoo. Take us to the inside of the science here. Like, well, what communication was there from teams and maybe San Jose in particular about like what the pathway looks like and your steps here moving forward?
Yeah, I haven't heard a lot right now, but obviously goalies sometimes take a little longer. So, you know, hopefully playing the A at 20, and like Kosa went like 16th over, I think, and he spent his first year in the coast, which is a possibility too. And yeah, goalies just take a longer time to develop, because I think, I believe the most important position in the game. So you got to, mature maybe a little bit more mentally and really work on some skills. But when you get there, it's rewarding.
Well, we know that you've worked with goalie mindset guru Pete Fry, who's been on the show in years past. How does that help you to get you in the right frame of mind to have the best chance at success in each and every game?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, like, since I started working with him is just painting a bigger picture in my head. Like, not being okay with the mediocre, but like dreaming big, and seeing it, and starting to believe that I can be good, I can play, and you're really putting those ideas and beliefs in my head.
We got some good intel from Kevin Woodley, one of the goalie gurus covering the game here in Vancouver, who I'm sure you're familiar with. And he also mentioned that you'd been doing some tracking work with goalie coach Lyle Mast from Vernon. So how much have these guys helped you, and how cool is it to be drafted after working with a lot of these local people in BC who've helped you along the way?
Yeah, it's super cool. Like, I couldn't be here by myself, obviously. Like, Lyle's been great, kind of introducing some things I need to do if I want to take my game to pro. And then I just had so many coaches who have been great throughout minor hockey and, my time at Northwest Hawks, which is a AAA program, and up in PG. And, my parents, obviously, they make lots of sacrifices. So, it's really cool being a North Vancouver kid, and there are a couple other Sharks prospects from North Vancouver area. So, yeah, it's just super exciting.
Well, just about to ask you about that. Is there a North Van Sharks group chat already forming now all of a sudden with the collection of North Van players they're collecting there?
Not yet, but I guess, there are a couple now, which is cool.
What's the summer look like for you?
Right now, just training. I guess go to dev camp, come back, and then just keep on skating, working out, and yeah, that's kind of all I got. Enjoy some time with friends and try to improve my golf game a little bit.
But right,
easier said than done.
What's it been like being with your family leading up to the draft and now obviously being drafted?
Yeah, really cool. Like, as I said earlier, they made a lot of sacrifices when I was younger, to allow me to play, U18 AAA from U15 to U18. And now to be here and hearing my name get called, I'm sure it's really rewarding for them. So it was really cool that they're able to experience this with me.
Josh, you and me both working on that golf game, man. I just gotta get the driver in check. It's always a little bit wayward. So we'll have that in common this summer.
Yeah, my driver's actually been unreal.
Well, we'd make a great scramble team then.
Yeah, I bomb my drive, and then I'll have a short chip, and I'll just chunk it, skull it, and out of bounds. And four putts.
Sounds about right.
Try the goalie stick on the putter.
Well, you got one thing down, so just keep working the rest. Thanks for this, Josh. I really appreciate the time, and congratulations again.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
There is Joshua Ravensbergen of the Prince George Cougars, and now of the San Jose Sharks. North Van native getting drafted yesterday in the first round. All right, let's bring in our next guest, the goalie guru in Goal Magazine and covering the Canucks at NHL.com. It is Kevin Woodley. He is a presentation of White Rock Hyundai. Thanks for this, Woodley. We just spoke with Joshua Ravensbergen. He's a smart kid, and he's one of the top goalie prospects. Didn't go first like many had thought, but he did still go in the first round. Your take on the North Van kid getting drafted to San Jose?
Yeah, interesting. San Jose hasn't had much luck with CHL picks in goal in recent years. Obviously, Mason Beaupitt, who I got to know and really liked, I think they spent a third-round pick on him. Last check, I think he was out of the WHL and the BCHL. I think they let his rights pass, so they go back to the well again at an even higher level. It's been really interesting to sort of follow this. To be honest with you, on the InGoal Radio podcast yesterday when we recorded, I said there would either be zero or two goalies picked in the first round, and said if it was two, there'd be a Russian, and it would be ahead of Ravensbergen. Now, so I got that right, but truth is I didn't have that Russian. So it's really interesting to sort of follow this along. At the end of the day, there's a lot of people still trying to figure out the position, and
trying to do it at this young an age is even more difficult. So I'd heard different things. I think there's still a lot of rawness to Ravensburgen's game. But when you've got that size and some of the skills he has, I think people look at that and think, hey, we can be the ones that refine this and dial this in. So good for him. There's some pressure that, you know, last Canadian to be picked in the first round as a goaltender was Sebastian Kosa. And he, you know, a number of years later here, he still spent time in the ECHL last year. So, and the person responsible for making that pick in Detroit is no longer with the organization. So it's risky. You put a lot on the line, but I think there's enough there in Ravensburg and that he's got a shot to hopefully have a better ending. Not that Kosa's over, but, you know, have a better trajectory than he's on right now. And I should add the asterisk. The hardest part for Kosa is that he went to Detroit, and when it comes to goaltending, they even the way they buried him behind, you know, journeyman doesn't make a ton of sense to me. Even the move they made today doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
Well, and as far as the goalies in this year's draft, you mentioned you thought a Russian would go ahead of Ravensburgen, but not Pyotr Andrianov, who ends up going. And the third goalie taking is Alexei Medvedev by the Canucks in the second round. Who did you think was going to be the first Russian goalie taken?
There were a couple of different names. I thought Frolov might have a chance. And then there were some other names that are kind of sleepers that might still be on the board that you just never know. I know that Dan Milstein had a camp in Fort Lauderdale, I think last week, for a lot of the kids that weren't a part of the combine. And there were some Russian goaltenders there that I think, because of the lack of use to that point, really opened some eyes. And so I thought there that maybe some of them might have opened enough eyes that somebody takes a flyer early. And also, you know, once one goes, there tends to be more that go soon. So it's been interesting to follow this along. At the end of the day, it's hard to keep up at this level with all the different goaltenders. I don't pretend to try all that hard. It's hard enough for me to keep up with the NHL guys and a handful of AHL guys. So a lot of times here, you're just relying on the people you trust and the people you know to sort of help fill in these gaps. And then, you know, in the case of Medvedev today, a little bit of that and a little bit of looking at film myself since he's been drafted.
Just in general, though, like the nice for a return of a goalie run here, because I think we're now at 10 picks so far by pick 104 of 10 goalies. And there was a year where we had three. And just seeing this many go, it just feels like it's I don't know if there was like a development flattening because of post-COVID or something like that, but it seems like a lot of goalies today.
Yeah, and I just see Anaheim just picked Neuschwander, who is another one that I thought might go higher than that. So you need them, right? Like, even if we can't all agree on how to project them,
right?
You need to have them in the pipeline, right? Like, I would have been shocked if Vancouver didn't pick a goaltender today, because they haven't for the past two seasons, right? And you look at their depth chart and you're like, well, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, they've got to make a decision on Shelov. They got Tolopilo, they got Ty Young, they got Asku Koskinvuo coming. Like, why do you need another goaltender? Well, the reality is you have to constantly restock that pipeline, because even if some of them hit, you might not have room, or they might not hit at the right time. Like, you're sort of in that spot with Archers, right? Like, where, you know, he had this great playoff run and maybe you feel he's ready for the NHL, but based on what happened in the NHL last year, you probably can't take that chance. So now you either have to trade him or risk losing him on waivers. You need to constantly refresh that pipeline to avoid becoming a team that has to go elsewhere to fill their holes in net. And so, you know, even waiting 2 years, you know, a lot of people would suggest taking one every year, even if it's later round. So I wasn't surprised that they took one, maybe a little surprised at how high. But, you know, hey, when you have if you guys have ever done the math on Ian Clark's draft to NHL record for goaltending, it's kind of absurd. Like, it's over 70%. And so while you have this guy in your organization, and who knows how long that lasts, maybe there's a director job waiting for him, maybe even this summer around the league. The fact you hadn't picked in 2 years and still have him helping lead how you look at these picks and make these picks, to me, that's an absolute no-brainer that they picked one today.
So Medvedev, he has a growth spurt here, and he's goes on a long run with the London Knights. How much has his draft stock risen, and what do you know about the player? What have you heard about the player?
Well, I knew he was, and they knew he was 6'3" before he picked him. So, and that came out in the interview afterwards. So I think this is one of those interesting ones. Obviously, he was lower on most boards, right? I think most of them had him around the 60s. And again, I'm going to trust the guy who picked him based on his track record. He's the youngest goalie in the draft. You mentioned the growth spurt. He's still the youngest goalie in the draft, so there might be room there, although it's, I think 6'3", 6'4", is your perfect size. I think a lot of people would argue 6'3", is your perfect size for a goaltender, so he's already in that window. I've heard other organizations viewed him as raw, which is really interesting to me and might be a little bit telling on themselves in terms of how they look at goaltenders, because maybe the execution is a little bit raw in some ways, but the skill, the technical foundation is very much evolved. And I think the word that a guy like Ian would use, you know, and again, like, haven't talked to him, but based on past conversations, he would probably call it a technical engine. So you can look at the technical execution, or you can look at the engine. And the execution, man, if you're worried about that at 18, you're looking at the wrong things, to be honest with you, because you can teach all that. I mean, as long as you haven't got a head case or a stubborn, and by all indications, this kid's, you know, like a great kid as well as a really good goaltending prospect, you can fix all that. Stance, you know, how you move in and out of your post, things like that. It's the engine, as Ian would say. It's the technical skill foundation. And he seems to have it in spades from watching some film. Really evolved skill set. There's a calmness that comes with it. I was looking at some shots, a little bit of distance, like mid-range shots, and you look at some of the goalies that have been on the highlights since he's been picked, and you watch them drop and then react. His patience on his edges from his save stance is incredible. Like, he holds edges to the point where that puck is almost at the edge of the crease on a shot from the top of the circle, and his knees are still a foot off the ice. Like, tons of patience. When you watch him move around the crease, and yeah, and there are moments where it'll get scrambly or wild, but that's not a bad thing. Because if it was all technique and all, like, contained and never had to sort of break the mold, open the doors and dial 911, then you'd worry about his compete and his battle. But it seems to be longer in sequences before he gets there, and that will have to continue to evolve. But when he moves around on his knees, there is no counter rotation. The arms aren't flailing in the wrong direction. He does so with an efficiency that allows him to maintain visual connections. So he's not guessing. Like, a lot of goalies at that age are body first. You know, the body moves and they find the puck when they get there. He really seems to play the game in his eyes, and the way he controls his movement that allows him to do that. Like, those are the things that I would imagine they're looking for, as opposed to, you know, again, the technical execution. There's a lot to like here. He's got, you know, all, what do we talk about with, you know, one of his seven skill sets that Ian Clark identifies? Length. He's got tons of that. The ability to extend, the ability to compete when he needs to go outside the box and be creative and find solutions. I saw evidence of that in the clips. But there's a really nice foundation, I would say technical skill foundation, and still, as he mentioned in his interview with us afterwards, still some details technically that he wants to refine, but there's lots of time for that. If you're looking for a finished product at 18, then where's the room to grow?
Yeah, exactly, right? And you mentioned how it seems like Ian Clark had a big part to play in drafting him, and obviously I don't know how much, but
I mean, it would seem to me that given that track record, and obviously his role in the organization seems to have been somewhat neutered,
right?
But this is one where I do believe he's more heavily involved still. And frankly, you'd be stupid not to,
given
that track record.
And based on what you said, it seems like he does hit some Ian Clark characteristics, so to speak, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely sad. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. Like, and listen, like, you know, he may be off limits now, but
this is a guy that I've worked with for 21 years now, and gotten to learn. So I sort of have an understanding of what those are and how they've evolved over the years.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And as far as the Canucks' overall goalie situation, and so it looks like they're going to sign Demko. Hitlankin and Demko is going to be the tandem. It puts Shelobs right in a position where he's on the outside looking in. Now you have Ty Young, of course. You have Aku Kuskoskin-Vua, who turned pro this year. He's part of the organization, plus Nikita Tolopolo. And Tolopolo and Young is who's kind of Alvin cited as being the goalie tandem next year. So when you look at what they have, and perhaps Shelobs and maybe trading him, it makes sense to draft a goalie here. And in terms of sequencing, having guys a few years apart in terms of their development.
Yeah, no, and you don't want to wait too much longer, right? Because so this kid's probably already going back and going to be the starter in London. Although I got to say, I know there's conversations already. Teams are trying to get him to the NCAA. Right. So if you need to, and that's a good thing, because the beauty is you can send him back to London, which is a great organization with tons of resources. You know, they've got a goalie coach in Dave Rook, who wasn't that long ago in the National Hockey League with Anaheim. So you can send him back there. And if you feel like, you know, you need a little more time, even just based on how everything else is panning out, there's going to be NCAA options to extend the window on him. Now, I don't know how that works in terms of rights, and I think there's still some questions about that. I don't have those answers, but he's a guy that will be in demand. As a matter of fact, I know he's already in demand from NCAA teams looking to bring him in. I think their preference would be to keep him in the CHL, and I say that without having talked to anybody about it, but knowing that there was some frustration. You know, the difference between Ty Young and Prince George is Marco could go work with him. On the ice, work with him. With Aku in the NCAA at Harvard, I believe Ian went in and visited him this year, but he can't get on the ice. Everything has to be through the goalie coach or through video with the goalie coach at Harvard. And, you know, that's tough. You don't have your hands on the kid as directly as you can in the CHL. So I would think their preference would be for him to stay in London. And why wouldn't you in an organization like that with all the success they've had? And, you know, probably one of the few that wins a Memorial Cup and isn't necessarily automatically having to rebuild the next season.
Quickly, before we go, I was critiquing Steve Yzerman and his handling of the goalie depth chart in Detroit. They make the big trade for John Gibson today. What do you make of that acquisition for the Detroit Red Wings?
Excited for John Gibson. Mm-hmm. Questions about that team still around him, right? I think under McClellan, they showed some signs. They're starting to defend a little better, and that'll bode well. They still have to hire a goalie coach. As I mentioned earlier, the Sebastian Kosa pick, Kosa development guy, his job, he's left. They fired their goalie coach at the end of the season, and they still haven't hired a new one. So that's going to be important here. John Gibson is a guy who, you know, a lot of people will look at him and say, oh, we need to fix this technically. We can solve that. But part of the thing that makes him special is in Anaheim, I know they purposely tried not to overdo how much technical they fixed because they didn't want to lose the roots of what made him special. And I think he's been doing it that way for so long that it's going to be difficult. So they got to get that hire right. Listen, he's an upgrade for sure. I believe that. I believe that, you know, if they're competitive as a team, John Gibson could make people regret other teams that don't have goaltending. He might make them regret not making that move. But you're right about the depth chart and all the fact that it's Detroit sort of almost makes you question it automatically because they keep kind of screwing it up, frankly. Mm-hmm. They have, for all the talk about Kosa, I think he's ready for a bigger role, and they just haven't been able to find it for him, in part because they do things like bringing Jack Campbell to being in the American Hockey League. They keep flushing out their depth chart and burying their legitimate prospects to the point where Trey Augustine, who might be one of the best goaltending prospects out there, that kid is legit, has already gone back to school next year because he saw the depth chart ahead of him and how long and deep it was. And that'll be third year in junior or back in the NCAA for him. And I've got indications already that the plan here is to walk right out of the organization as a UFA. So, you know, that might be the best pick they've made in years when it comes to goaltending. And the way they've structured the depth chart around him sounds like has created some questions, at least if not for him, then in his camp, about whether that's the best place for him. So Gibson solves it for the next couple of years. I think you'll probably see him be really good there. I wouldn't be surprised at all. But there are still a lot of questions about the way things are run there when it comes to goaltending. And there's always been a lot of questions about the way Steve Yzerman sort of handles and thinks about and treats not just goaltending, but goaltending people.
Woodley, you're the best. Thanks for this.
Appreciate it, guys. We'll talk to you. When's this going to end? I got to be down at Rogers Arena. We got time on this?
They're somewhere in the fourth round, right?
Yeah.
Now,
so but the good thing is, you have
119.
You have
so
a nice.
Probably make dinner reservations and then she'll get there.
The good thing is, you have a nice vehicle courtesy of a White Rock Hyundai where you can just cruise and be cool, right?
That's actually sad. Really, really good point by you. Just picked up a new Kona Electric 2 days ago, and that thing is smooth. So I'm going to enjoy my ride. It's nice out. Yeah, thanks, Sat. You made me more cheerful.
Thanks, Woodley. There he is. The goalie guru, Kevin Woodley, on Sports at 650 was brought to you by White Rock Hyundai. Visit the showroom on King George in White Rock or whiterockhyundai.com. Let's bring in our next guest from the Vancouver Giants and a third-round pick of the Dallas Stars. It is Cameron Schmidt. Thanks for this, Cameron. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Good. How are you guys doing?
Dream becoming a reality, getting drafted to the National Hockey League, is it?
It is, yeah. It's been a long wait, but I'm happy it's happened.
What have the last 24 hours been like for you here?
Yeah, it's been pretty stressful, obviously, just watching yesterday and then watching a bit of today, not really knowing where I was going to end up, so just happy to have my name called.
Well, obviously, the most important thing is getting drafted. Doesn't matter where you're drafted. Now you have a chance to live your dream as a National Hockey League player, hopefully in a few years. But it's one of those things where I'm sure you saw a lot of draft lists that had you as a first-round pick. Like, how did you prepare yourself going into this draft? Like, were you thinking you go in the first, or how were you kind of framing your mind preparing yourself for the draft?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, knowing I'm a smaller guy, just kind of seeing how the league's worked out these last few years and just seeing where smaller guys end up, I was kind of expecting something like this to happen. I mean, you always have hopes and dreams of going in the first round or whatever, but yeah, I'm happy that I've just been drafted, so.
It's got to be a little bit more whiteboard material for you, though, to keep you motivated and you know, not only prove the Dallas Stars right for selecting you, but prove a lot of other teams wrong.
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel like it's something I've been doing for a while now. Obviously, just being smaller, being at a disadvantage that way. Just try to take that and use it as a positive. Just be motivated to play my game and work extra hard.
What's the entire draft experience been like? Just getting ready for the season, but in particular, you know, from the combine and some interviews just leading up to today.
Yeah, obviously it's been a really cool experience. Being able to participate in the combine and meet a couple teams there and just meet the other prospects in this draft. It was a really cool experience, and then coming back home and kind of just waiting and hoping to hear your name called. So it's been a really cool experience, and I'm just happy that I've been fortunate enough to be drafted. Yeah.
So now that you have been drafted, it's been quite the journey to get here. Friends, family, coaches along the way. Like, what have you been thinking about, and what do you think about those closest to you that have supported you throughout this journey?
Yeah, it's been a long journey. Had a lot of coaches along the way that have helped me get here. And then friends, family, especially my immediate family, mom, dad, sister, just being here and supporting me. Spent the draft at home to watch with them and just kind of sharing this process with them and this experience has been really cool so far, and I can't thank them enough.
You had 40 goals this past year. What do you have as a follow-up this year now that you've been drafted?
I'm not too sure yet. Just kind of enjoying the draft, and yeah, we'll kind of get focused on the season in a little bit here, but yeah, just taking in the moment.
What do you know about Dallas? They've drafted the Dub here fairly regularly here recently, but just in general, what do you know about the Stars?
Yeah, obviously seen them draft Stankoven a couple years ago. Just shows that they're willing to take a chance on smaller guys. So just knowing that, just makes me feel better, I guess, about myself. Just knowing that I have a team that wants me and likes me for the player I am. I was down in Dallas a couple weeks ago for the U18, so I've been to the city and I kind of know a bit of what it's like, and yeah, I'm just really excited to get started there.
Hey, Cameron, congratulations on being drafted. Continued success to you as you move forward in your career. Thanks for your time today, and we'll talk again soon.
Yes, thank you very much.
There is Cameron Schmidt of the Vancouver Giants, drafted in the third round by the Dallas Stars. But right now we speak with one of the Canucks draft picks of today, selected in the third round at 65th overall. Kieran Dervin is joining us. Thanks for this, Kieran. Now, you got to tell us the story about the hat. You got a Vancouver Canucks hat. Were you a Canucks fan?
Yeah, I do. No, after I was picked, my brother quickly ran and grabbed it for me. So I got it pretty soon after, and was able to throw it on pretty quickly after. So no, it's really exciting for me and my family, and it's obviously very emotional. But I'm just thankful and honored for everything.
It's a pretty sounds like a pretty amazing brother you got there. He ran over to the store. He was like, "Yeah, got to get you a Canucks hat now."
Yeah, well, no, the store isn't close either. It's a good 20 minutes away. So he had quite the drive, but he's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and as far as just going through the emotions on a day like this and everything you've led up to, like, what was yesterday like? What was today like? And how have you been taking in this entire experience?
Yeah. Yesterday was even this week, it just felt super long. And then when it got to yesterday, it just started feeling a little bit more realer. And then, once that finished and, little trouble sleeping that night, and then, woke up today and obviously, I swore yesterday that I wasn't going to be nervous, but I woke up pretty nervous this morning. So, and then obviously the draft came around and, thankfully didn't have to wait super long to hear my name called. And, when I did, it was, very exciting, and my family is here with me as well. So it was, it's a great time.
So who's around you that helped you with the nerves, and what did they say?
I think my parents, and I think my sister especially. She's pretty good with that stuff. So she was just trying to keep me calm, and trying to talk to me about some other things. Try and keep my mind off of it. So she did a pretty good job with that.
So tell us about your game. How does Kieran Dervin have success on the ice?
Yeah, I think I'm a speedy centerman with a high IQ. I think I help make players around me better. I think I'm a good playmaker, and I can finish as well. And then I'm also very responsible on the defensive side of the puck. I think I'm a two-way centerman, 200-foot centerman who can be trusted in every situation. I think I'm a pretty all-around player.
Well, and as far as what's next for you? You spent some time obviously playing at Andrews College, and you played with Kingston Frontenac so far. So, what are you looking forward to next season?
Yeah, so I'm going to Kingston for next season in the OHL, and I think I spent a little bit of time with them there, obviously this year, and I loved it. I enjoyed it. I think the coaching staff and everybody there from top to bottom is super professional, and the way they go about their business is amazing. And I think we're gonna have a good team next year, and I think we're gonna be one of the better teams in the league. So I'm just looking forward to it.
You described your game. What's your favorite part of playing the game?
My favorite part of playing the game. I think winning. I'm very competitive. I love to win. I hate to lose. But I think just being out there and having fun, honestly. Winning is fun, but just being out there and enjoying myself when I'm out there, and I think that's when I'm playing the best hockey, is when I'm out there just having fun. Obviously it's stressful at times, and it's hopefully gonna be a job in the future, but I think if you just kind of keep your head focused on what's important and trying to have fun with it, I think it makes it a lot easier.
The word from the scouting community is that you really impressed at the NHL Combine. What was your secret?
I don't think there's any secret. I think it was just a lot of hard work. I think I'm pretty grateful to have some good genetics from my parents, but I was in the gym for just under 2 months for 5 days a week, working as hard as I can to to be one of the best performers there. And, you know, I think I did a pretty good job with that. And I was really happy with all the outcomes.
You crushed the vertical, right? Is there basketball or volleyball in your background or something?
I guess when my mom was a basketball player. In
there
high
we
school,
go. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, she unfortunately got, a couple of bad injuries. So she wasn't able to pursue that any further, but yeah, she claims to be quite the basketball player when she was younger. So
well, you have the hops to show for it, right? So maybe she was on.
So. maybe she was. Yeah.
And as far as which NHL players, or which players have really inspired you, and are there players that you tried to learn from and model your game after?
Yeah, I think one of my hockey role models for me and for a lot of other, you know, kids my age and even younger is Sidney Crosby. You know, I grew up watching him. Pittsburgh was my favorite team growing up because of him. You know, I was actually able to meet him when I was in Pittsburgh for a year. I had was able to eat Thanksgiving with him, Canadian Thanksgiving, celebrate that with him. So it was really special to meet him. And you know, I think he's a role model for me and so many other kids my age. Yeah, I think he's, you know, one of the greatest of all times for a reason, and he's a great person on and off the ice, especially. So he's definitely one of my role models.
I know you mentioned going to Kingston for the upcoming year, but I saw some of the reports that you also looking at college beyond that.
Yeah, correct. I am committed to Penn State, so I think that's the plan after this coming year in Kingston. So go to Kingston for this year, and then I think head off to Penn State for the following year.
It's pretty cool. You get the best of all the development paths now as a young player, right?
It is. It's awesome. The rule change is so great. You know, it's hard for a 16-year-old kid to make a life-altering decision at such a young age. So I think the rule change is, you know, only good things have come from it.
Kieran, what do you got planned for the summer?
Not much. I said a lot of work, just working hard and, you know, trying to be in the best shape possible for next year, for next season. Yeah, nothing too special here.
Well, we'll see you in Vancouver for Dev Camp next week. How about that?
Perfect.
Sounds good, Kieran. Thanks for this today.
Of course. No, thank you guys.
And congratulations as well. There is Kieran Dervin, third round selection of the Vancouver Canucks, joining us. Director of Amateur Scouting, it is Todd Harvey on the line. He joins us on the hotline powered by Power West Industries. Thanks for this, Todd. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. An interesting collection of players that you have. We talked to Patrick Alvin last night about your first round pick, Braden Coutts. But your take on Braden and what you get there at 15.
Well, you know, he's a 200-foot player. I'm real excited about, you know, he's got speed. He plays to the inside. He's got some skills. Can put the puck in the net. You know, he drives play through the middle of the ice. I think what I like most about him is he's a great person. He's captain material. He's got leadership qualities. You know, captain of his team in Seattle, which is not an easy thing to do at a young age. And you know, captain of the Canadian team that won gold. And, you know, I'm just a real impressive young man.
I know that when you watch a player and you guys really start gravitating towards somebody, there's always some moments that really stick out. Is there a moment or two that you saw from him that really impressed you and made you think, like, this is a guy that if we have a chance to get, we have to get?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys where, you know, when you watch him, and maybe he was not having a great game, you still go away saying he played good. He, you know, he's just a guy that does a little bit of everything and makes you say, you know, he's a coach's dream kind of way. But, you know, I think in him going down to Team Canada and taking on that leadership role with all those players and, you know, played really well there, scored some goals and was a big part of that gold medal. That was really good for him.
Is it fair, Todd, to say that compete was a theme throughout the entire draft and specifically headlined by Braden, too?
Well, I mean, we're always looking for guys that compete and work hard and make it hard for other players out there on the ice. And that, you know, it's just our list. We put it together, and our scouts have done a great job with with making sure that they put the right guys in the right order. And, worked out that the players that we got on our list were the ones we wanted. We're real happy with that.
In the second round, you add to your goaltending depth chart with Alexei Medvedev. He's had a bit of a growth spurt and is really interesting as coming out of London as well. What do you like about Alexei Medvedev?
Well, he's calm, cool, and collected, I will say that. When you have a goalie that has that calmness in the back of the net, it makes your team a little calmer out there on the ice. And, I think that he's a big guy. He moves really well, and nothing seems to bother him or rattle him too much. And, when you have that, it gives your team confidence. And we really like him, with the pick we got him.
Well, and when you look at goaltending, too, you guys have a plethora of really nice goalies. And especially we signed Demko. You have Demko. You have Lankinen. RD was the MVP. You have Ty Young, your Aku, Koskinen-Vuau, and plus Nikita Tolopolo. At the same time, you can never have enough of these young guys. What made it so important for you guys to get a goalie this year and to have them sequenced the way you have?
Well, you got to keep filling the cupboard with guys that you think that are going to give a team a chance to be good and be good for a long time. And I think that with him, we felt it was too good an opportunity for us to pass on him there. And we wanted to stabilize what we have here in Vancouver and just add to it.
Was there a bit of a prediction of a goalie run that was going to happen between your picks as well? Because it felt like a lot of goalies in the first three rounds there.
It always happens like that. As soon as one guy goes, everybody's like, "Well, we better take one, right?" we had him pegged early, and I felt we had to take him at that pick because we didn't want to take that chance.
You take Kieran Durbin in the third round, and I'm always curious, a player with limited experience like him, he played a few games in the OHL, but mostly coming out of St. Andrews College. How hard can it be to project a player like that, as impressive as he was at that level?
Well, I think that, he's a guy that's going to take time, and he's a good skater. He's got some size. He makes plays. He went to Kingston at the end of the year and played on a stacked team there in Kingston, which was making a run for it, a championship. And, he didn't maybe get the ice time that he would have got on other teams. So I think he's going to go back this year and he's going to get a big opportunity there in Kingston. And I think he's going to run with it. And I think he's going to, his production's going to go up and then he's going to go to Penn State and he's got a good path to follow here.
Well, and you guys obviously picked up a few players. You also took Wilson Bjork with your fifth round draft pick. Now he's in the draft a second time. He has a younger brother coming up next year. So is this some smart strategic play, getting a player who you might convince to bring his brother over next year? I'm just kidding on that part, but obviously a player who has some upside and intangibles. What impressed you about him?
Well, his game is, he got passed over last year, and I think that our scouts there felt that his game really took a step this year, and he was moving in the right direction. He played some games in the Ovechkin, and in his path, he's going to go to college, and I think when you see a guy that's kind of his game is improved, you have to take notice of that. And we like the way he plays. He plays another guy that plays 200 feet, has some touch, but is responsible all over the ice, and we feel that his game's going to grow even more moving on to college here.
When you take these draft plus one guys, or just in general, trying to project what a timeline looks like, how much does that influence like how you're building the board out and where to value certain guys?
Well, things are changing, obviously, with the new rules and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So I think it's more of an even playing field for guys. And I think, we have to take that into consideration. But, we try to take the players that we feel that are going to be Vancouver Canucks, that we want to be Vancouver Canucks. And, I think it doesn't matter if they're a draft plus two, like Mueller was, those kind of things. We don't care about that, to be honest. We want the player that we feel that's going to help our organization.
Well, you round out the draft by taking Matthew Lansing and Gabriel Chiarot, and both of those guys are kind of known as players who have a strong two-way game. Tell us a bit about those guys and what made you guys really focus in on some of these two-way intelligent players this time around.
Well, Chiarot really came on in the second half of the year in Brampton. He plays, he's a good skater. He's a great forechecker, bangs bodies, gets to the blue paint, and he started putting the puck in the net in the second half, and things kind of went the right for him. And I think you know, him going back and being more confident, and he's only going to get better next year. And I like the way he likes to play a physical game.
Also, before we let you go here, Todd, you know, this is a few years under Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin, and with you guys, is you've had a little bit more success. You know, we've already turned a couple of later round picks into guys that have played NHL games for you, whether it's Mueller, DPD, even Kudryavtsev there at the end of the year, who was huge during the Calder Cup run as well here for Abbotsford. Has there been a strategy change in the last couple of years that has seen a little bit more success with some of those later picks?
No, I mean, obviously we take the time, our scouts are out there and they're working hard. And like I said, I just want to tell them, I thank them, but, you know, how hard these guys actually work in the games and the miles that they put on, and how good a job they've done. And, you know, if for them and for us, I think as a whole organization, you know, things, when we get guys that can actually play, and get some games and be a part of that organization, I think it's a real bonus. And I think really our guys are real happy when they get that, see their player that kind of takes that step. And but the strategy, I don't think, you know, there's a strategy involved in it.
So how excited were you when the team didn't trade the first round pick?
You know what? I get asked that quite a bit, but I think at the end of the day, it's like, we put our list together like we have first round picks every year, and you never know what's going to happen. So you have to be prepared for all scenarios. And, you know, I think that, you know, having a first or not doesn't really affect the way we go about doing our job. So, you know, it was nice to have the pick, and I'm real happy that we, with the player that we got.
So you and the scouts didn't get together in a prayer circle to make sure that they hold on for the pick?
No, we didn't. You know, we were just crossing our fingers.
Todd, we really appreciate the time. Thanks so much for this today, and all the best in the off season.
Okay, thank you.